Craig McTavish, the general manager of the Edmonton Oilers, joins us. Craig, I know you're super busy with the draft. Do you get a chance to watch any of the World Cup?
I haven't watched too much of it, to be honest with you. It's on my list of things to start catching up on in the next few days, but I haven't seen too much of it so far.
Craig, I've heard, and the Oilers have done this in the past, drafting high, that you'll fly in some of the players. I know you have the opportunity to talk to them at the combine, but I think you're only limited to 20 minutes each player. When you fly the young kids into Edmonton and have a chance to sit down and talk, how intense is it? How much better is it, do you think, to get an overall assessment of the person when you've got more than 20 minutes?
I find it very beneficial. I think it's an extremely valuable exercise for us to do as an organization. And you get way more from the player than you would in the 20-minute interview period. That's pretty rehearsed, I think, in a lot of ways, and pretty contrived in a very stark condition. So we generally bring the kids in, and then we'll take them for dinner, generally at one of our houses, whether we go to Daryl's house or Sam Bennett we had over to my house last night. It was a very impressive kid. Aaron Ekblad had dinner with him the night before on Monday. So, I mean, it really gives me a lot of comfort knowing the personality better. And so I'd say it's very, very helpful for us. We've got a couple more coming in, Sam Reinhart and Leon Draisaitl coming in. And so we're looking forward to that. It's very exciting, not to go on and on, but, it's a real exciting time for, I think, all the teams around the drafts, because everybody's going to improve their hockey club and there's a bevy of activity. So it's good fun.
When you're looking at draft picks, and you have the history of a pick, but I'm guessing still Stu McGregor's maybe talking and saying, Craig, I really like this guy. I think if we move up 8 spots or 10 from the second or third round, let's say, for instance, we really want him. How much do you still have to go on the scouting rather than just the analytics and the history of that specific number?
Well, I think the value is in the amalgamation of both departments, your analytics department and your amateur scouting department. That's really the sweet spot in terms of evaluation of players. There's no question about that. And Stewie's a very progressive guy. Stu McGregor's a very progressive guy, very open-minded guy, as is Dan. And the two of them are, I mean, analytics is used as it should be by Stu McGregor as part of the overall evaluation process and as a tool.
Craig McTavish, GM of the Edmonton Oilers, joins us. Craig, your long-term plan, when you look at drafting players now, because the Pacific Division, it's kind of gone back to when you played. You got to get out of your division first. You know that, barring a crossover, there's going to be at least 2 teams and likely 3 that you'll have to face every year in your division to get out of it. When you look at the Pacific with Anaheim and San Jose and LA, and they're all big and skilled, do you have to plan to counterattack that, or do you think you have to draft a plan that works for you in the hopes that they will have to counter you in 3 or 4 years?
I think both are very true. You're only as good as the competition, and our competition, our division is extremely strong. It's much like when the Edmonton Oilers and the Calgary Flames were the strength of the league back in the 80s, and we really feel like we motivated each other, and we were really very good for one another. And I think the same is true here, that obviously the strongest teams in the league are really in our conference and specifically in our division. So we've got to build a team that's capable of competing and beating those types of teams. But there's still plenty of room for smaller guys. And our drafting mandate has always been to draft the player that's going to have the most significant impact on his NHL team over time. And there are lots of guys that are under 6'4", that Sidney Crosby being one of them, that have pretty good, pretty significant impacts, Jordan Eberle being another. Taylor Hall's not 6'4". He's got has an incredible impact on our games and in our future, as does Nugent Hopkins. So that's really our mandate from an organizational standpoint, is to draft the player that over time is going to have the greatest impact.
Craig, the other day I was reading a quote where you mentioned you do not want to rush your defense, but Nurse, Klefbom, Marinson. Do you plan then on ensuring that you can find maybe four or five other? Because right now you've got Andrew Ferentz, Jeff Petrie, and I guess Justin Schultz as veterans, even though Schultz doesn't have a ton of experience signed right now. So it's safe to say you need to find three or four other, regardless of whether they're first, second, or third pairing D-men, with experience, so you don't have to rush the kids.
Well, we've got Jeff Petrie, too, that we fully anticipate getting on a contract. It's a primary focus of ours that we want the competition at training camp. We want Darnell Nurse to come in, and he's not going to have a position by default, but he's going to have to compete strongly for a position, as will Oscar and Marty Marinson. All three of those guys were hopeful will be in a real competitive environment come training camp. And, we need to add a defenseman or two to create that competitiveness that we want.
Do you feel you can get that better in free agency, or is trade the best route?
I think... Right now, I think they're both. I have my own thoughts on what I think is going to happen, but I don't really want to say too much other than that. I think that I will say that we're actively involved in the trade market, and hopeful that we can do something going into the draft.
Would that include the number 3 overall pick, Craig? Are you very hesitant to trade that high of a pick?
I'm very hesitant to trade it, but it's all about, having a good assessment of value in terms of our situation. So we're open-minded to listen to offers for our draft choice. Last year we had the 7th pick, but we were in the same frame of mind going into the draft last year and really didn't get anything that was even remotely close to what I thought was fair value for that pick. And this year, I'm receiving better offers, but obviously we haven't got an offer that's been strong enough for us to move that pick as of yet. But yeah, we're prepared to move that if we get something that's maybe a little bit more immediate help and long-term solution too as well. So we're looking for players, mid-20s, possibly at the oldest in terms of players that we'd acquire for that pick.
Craig McTavish, general manager of the Edmonton Oilers, joins us. Kevin Lowe, Scott House, and yourself, you've all been general managers at different times. Craig, has history shown you guys, do teams' offers get better in the final few days leading up to the draft, or if you haven't received a good offer, you're likely not going to get one in the final 24 hours?
Offers go up.
Okay.
That's the value of draft choice is never greater than draft day. And the value of draft choice is never less than it is trade deadline day.
Yeah.
So that's we're expecting offers to increase. They generally do.
You traded your second and third because you needed to improve your team, and obviously you did with getting established players. Now, a lot of people think, well, maybe you mentioned that mid-range 24-year-old, that you still feel that your team, when you're going to be a real cup contender, let's say, not a playoff contender, but a cup contender, probably 2-3 years away from being that in a perfect scenario, so you can't afford to go for a quick fix. If you're making a trade, it's got to be one that's going to help you for the next 6 or 7 years, not just the next 2 or 3.
Yeah, that's very true. Very true. We start every discussion with the same question: is this going to help us ultimately win a championship? That's how's this going to affect us? And one thing we're not going to do is is jeopardize that for shorter term relief from our current position, because we feel like we're acquiring and developing the assets that are going to develop into guys that are capable of winning. We're obviously a long way away from that as we currently sit, but we're getting closer.
Do you need to be more patient now, Craig, do you think? Is it harder? Because the competitive nature, you're a guy who's won a lot at the NHL, you know, when you're in an organization. Do you find that you have to avoid that, okay, let's make a move right away, and this is a really good test of your patience?
That's interesting. I'm not sure okay. How to answer that. I think my perspective is I've got to reconcile the value of these deals, and generally they're, you know, the ones that come tantalizingly close to making, we have some pretty good discussions about, and you know, assess the merits and the pluses and the minuses that would factor into making this deal. So I'm not patient. I want to win quickly. So that patience would not be a word I would use. I'm trying to get better as quickly as we possibly can. But every deal that we make has got to satisfy those questions I mentioned earlier about how it impacts on our ability to win a championship.
Craig McTavish, GM of the Oilers, joins us. Craig, with the draft, of course, right on the heels of free agency again, this year it's different where you have the interview process for 5 days leading up for free agents. You know, Edmonton for the last few years has always been involved in free agency. You've signed two or three UFAs every year. How much different, easier will that 5 days of free agent interviews make the process?
Well, one thing I know for sure is that we're going to get access to these players, because They know our cap position. The agents know our cap position. They know our situation of need, and we're going to get access to these players, because at the very least they're going to want us to try and run up the market. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
And I think we'll get access to these players. If you're going to pick two or three teams, we're going to be one of them, I think. So we'll get access. And then it's going to come down to whether our situation suits the situational needs of the player that we're trying to recruit, and our ability to sell our situation. And our ability to sell our situation is very positive right now. Just to mention a few significant factors, obviously the Alberta advantage in terms of no provincial sales tax. It's about a 10% advantage over BC and over Ontario and New York and many situations in the state. So that's a very significant factor, because we've got to always remember that everybody, including especially the players, we're all doing this professionally. So that's a significant factor. And you know, the other factors is we're an evolving team. You've got an opportunity to get in at the bottom floor of something that we feel and expect to be great. We're going into a new building. There's an energy amongst the Oilers. Our fans are the best and most loyal fans, certainly in the league, to continually fill our building through this rebuilding stage that we're in. So the atmosphere that was here in 2006 when we went to the finals, I mean, it is just an unbelievable place to play hockey. So we're going to have a good chance to sell that, and I believe very strongly that our case is very compelling to most players. I mean, it's not going to get the guys that are doing it for a lifestyle change, the guys that want 70 degrees and sunny in the middle of February. They're probably not going to get those guys, but we'll have a chance to make an enticing offer to players that are in it for upside in the game of hockey.
Craig, I know that last year you guys were very close on the David Clarkson negotiation. You ended up choosing Toronto as an Ontario guy, and that's something that obviously we'll take into account. looking back on that, is there anything that you gained from that experience that maybe you would do different in how you approach free agents?
No, I think I think our staff did an outstanding job presenting our case to David and Brittany at the time. We were up against a situation where David ultimately chose to go home, where his dad was a longtime Leaf fan, and it was difficult for us to lose that player at the time. But that was one of the circumstances we couldn't control. And the other player that we really went after hard was Danny DeKeyser out of Western Michigan, who turned out to be a real good player in Detroit. And Kevin Lowe and I drove from Chicago up to where he played, I can't remember the town, but where he played college hockey at Western Michigan. We had unbelievable dinner with Danny, sold him all the pluses about the Edmonton Oilers, gave him much the same pitch that we gave Justin Schultz a year earlier. And then as Danny was taking Kevin and I out to the, showing us out to the highway, we were following him, and he had a Detroit Red Wings license plate. I mean, we figured that was not necessarily a good sign.
Yeah, sometimes you can't tap into that emotional side, I guess, at the end when they have that. And there's going to be guys, Andrew Ferentz, Sheldon Surrey in the past, who have chosen to come home to Edmonton because family and friends are there. So yeah, I'm sure it always works both ways. One final one for you, Craig. I know you're busy. I appreciate your time. Anton Stralman's a soon to be an unrestricted free agent. A lot of people talking about him in defenseman. He's got unbelievable stats where he's on the ice a lot, where the Rangers score like 55% of their goals, yet he only has like 13 points. So is he a guy who's leading the charge and maybe gets a lot of third assists but never qualifies for it? How much video do you do? Like, would you break down every one of the Ranger goals, for instance, in a case like Stralman, to say, man, all the analytics say it's great, but how come he's not getting any points? You know, what value does he play? How intense and, you know, how much video review goes into when you're looking at free agents?
Well, the software is unbelievable right now. So I can go, I've got an adjoining room here in my office that I can go in there very quickly, pull up all of New York Rangers' most recent games or their whole history last year, and show all the goals that Anton Stralman was on the ice for in a matter of seconds. So there's lots of that analysis, but it really the software is quite incredible. Any player in the league that I want to see play all his shifts, I can pull up very, very quickly. So there's a lot of that as you talk about players and targets that you want to try and sign. We'll watch a lot of video.
Well, when free agency's over, I'd love to find out what Strowman's doing to be that impactful on the analytics side, but for whatever reason, never getting points. It's just
But you know what? That's what analytics is all about.
Yeah.
That's it right there. That's the value, because it leads you to ask the right questions. And then you do the research and you dig in for possible outliers where you can identify value before the rest of the group, and that's not easy.
Definitely, Craig. Always good to talk to you. Best of luck at the draft and having, as you mentioned off the top, Reinhardt and Draisaitl coming to visit guys in the next few days.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. Thanks for the opportunity, Jason. We'll catch up later.
You betcha.
Thank you.